during these weeks of renewal and restoration to hear the preaching of Brother Bob Pelkey, and we're delighted that he is able to be with us here again tonight. Brother Pelkey, you come and share with us what God has put on your heart.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Amen. The message I'll be preaching tonight in just a little bit, I've got some preliminary things that are kind of attached to it, all right? A little different. As a matter of fact, the message that God gave me, I thought that he'd given it to me for my own church. And I have, and I don't know if preachers got one or not, Brother Josh, others, I don't know if you got a back burner file, but that's, you know, what I, many times, I wonder when that one's going to be. I believe there's something there. And but I couldn't get away from this particular message. And if you could have seen the original copy, you probably wouldn't allow me to stand in this pulpit tonight. Anybody that messes up a piece of paper like that, there's got to be something wrong with it. But I was able to transcribe and even make some sense out of what I originally was thinking when I wrote those notes down. You ever do that, brother? Yeah. And and eventually, you know, it may be for my church, but it never seemed like it was time. And the Lord would not let me get away from this particular message. But let me just say this. Many years ago, in fact, back in the late 70s, I guess, a preacher came and preached a meeting for me when I was pastoring in Ohio, and he had a cassette tape of these two teenage girls that were singing during their missions conference at their church. And he wanted me to hear this. And he explained to me before he turned it on, some of you remember cassette tapes. And before he turned it on, he explained, he said, now I was there and those girls, their parents were missionaries to South Korea. And they were way back in, and those girls testified just a little bit before they preached, before they sang, excuse me. They did not preach, all right? Hang on, it might get worse. But he said those two girls talked about how that there were times, you know, they couldn't get to a grocery store and they didn't have the funds sometimes, and they the family had bowed down, and you've heard this kind of thing, but this actually happened, that they bowed down and thanked the Lord for the food that they still couldn't see on the table. And one of the local Koreans knocked on the door with a bag of rice, and of course that's a staple. And but they said a little bit about, you know, where they were and with their parents, and they wouldn't have it any other way. Their hearts were there with their parents in that ministry, even when they didn't have enough, and they were missing out on all the things that the teenagers were doing back in America and everything, and it just didn't matter. And they sang this song, and when they were singing the song, this preacher who was there, he said they were weeping as, these are two teenage girls now, they're weeping as they're singing this song. And one night in the church I pastored in Ohio, I told the people about that testimony and that Joan and I were going to sing their song. And the name of the song, and maybe you're familiar with it here, I don't know. But whatever it takes, was the name of the song. And I told about that and the dedication and the absolute surrender of those two teenage girls. I'm going to ask my wife to come at this time. If I can, there she is. Okay, she's going to help us, help me to sing, and thank you, brother. Don't listen to how we sing. Listen to the message of the song. And how many times have you heard that? And I've always thought, just sing, just sing. Okay, but I got to tell you, just get the message. Okay, all right. There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree. And it whispers, draw closer to me. Leave this world far behind. There are new heights to climb and a new place in me. To draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. That's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. Take the dearest thing to me, if that's how it must be, to draw me closer to thee. Let the disappointments come, lonely days without the sun. If through sorrow more like you I'll become, take my houses and lands, change my dreams and my plans, for I'm placing my whole life in your hands. And if you call me today to a land far away, Lord, I'll go and your will obey. For whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever to be more like you,
that's what I'll be willing to do. I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. That's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes, for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. That's what I'll be willing to do.
Greg will take it. He's coming right now. Amen. Thank you, brother. I may have to take him home, brother. I'll just tell you that. Amen. What a help. And thank God for the help of God's people. I don't know where I'd be otherwise. Well, I sang it that night in our church in Ohio. We sang it together. I didn't know, but this is what was going on. One of my men, okay, a young husband, father of a couple of children, and he and his wife and daughter were in the service that night. And unbeknownst to me, he had said, "Yes, Lord, that's it. I mean it." And he said, "Whatever it takes." Now, when he said that, he didn't know what it was going to mean. But it was, you know, even he even said, now this is extreme praying, you might think, but he even said, "Lord, if you take my wife and my children, I surrender to you in your will." Amen. Well, that night, I was just talking to him the other day, make sure I had it right, and he eagerly told me exactly what happened, and it was just the way I've been trying to tell it for years, okay? And I sure was glad, but he said that they lived way out in the country in a little village, and he said I wouldn't go over 15 miles an hour. And he said his wife just wondered what was wrong, you know. But here he is behind the wheel. And he didn't know if he was going to have a wreck and lose his family or what was going to happen. But he had said, "Thy will be done," okay? And, got home safely. Life went on. And there's a little backstory I've got to tell you. He and his brother were dairy farmers and worked together, and they also did custom hay baling and that kind of thing, you know. And they had made a deal about some hay with a neighbor, and he just knew that they had shorted him, okay? And I mean, he was a worldling, and he just reeked attitude, okay? And he got to where it wouldn't even wave going down the road and whatnot. And he was so bitter and so angry. And he and his brother both knew, I mean, together comparing notes, that they did not short him. And he was unreasonable and everything else. And so, his brother, I believe it was out in the field, his hunting dog, okay, Hap, that's the name of this brother, okay, his hunting dog had been missing for several days, and his brother found it way back in the neighbor's field, dead, okay, been shot. Well, they put two and two together, they knew what happened, and he said he drove up to his neighbor, and said, "You killed my dog." He said, "I stayed in the truck. I knew I better not get out, okay, because I knew what I might do and be a bad scene." And he said, "I just want you to know I don't appreciate it." All right, left it at that. That was big of him. Went back home. This happened all within the span of 1 week. I can hardly believe what he was telling me. The next Sunday morning, before church, of course, he is he starts out the door, and there's the neighbor's hunting dog had broken his chain or his rope, and was there. He had never come there before, never. But he's sitting there on the porch of his house. He had gotten loose and came to his house. And if you could have seen the scene, I think it would have looked something like this, Brother Sherman. I believe it would have been, you know, sometimes if we just knew what all was going on in the world, we can't see. All right, I believe there were a couple of angels there that said, sit, okay, until Hap got done with the milk and came back and got the neighbor's dog, and he said, "Okay, I'm gonna take him back and just tell him, say, here's your dog. I wouldn't kill your dog, you know," and so he'd know he's a Christian, you know. And God said, "That attitude that stinks, stinking thinking." All right, and he knew it as soon as he began to think about it, and so he prayed about it and took the dog back to his neighbor, and he told the neighbor, just said, "I guess your dog got loose. I mean, it's all you could say. It was obvious the chain or the rope was broken, and the dog had come, and he came to my house." He's telling his neighbor that. And he said, I just want to give you the dog back and tell you what happened. And he didn't say much more than that. But then, as I remembered, he did go ahead and say, I said, look, I know things hadn't been right between us. Can't even wave at each other going down the road, okay? And even though this guy was a worldling, they still, you know, they want to reach him for the Lord. And I'd like to tell you, the neighbor got saved and one thing and another, and that's not what happened. But God did something in Glenn West. His nickname was Hap. And God did something in him through that was out of this world, okay? And I could hardly believe what he's telling me, but I know it happened. He didn't lie about it, and he always told the story the same way. When I asked him again, 50 years later, yeah, and. That's what that was, and he explained to me that what happened that night. We sang this song, "Whatever It Takes for My Will to Break." That's what I'll be willing to do. My. Well, let's get into the Word. All right, I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 6. There in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Really, it is kind of a model and a form for our praying. But this is the Lord's Prayer, okay? And let's begin reading there at verse 9. After this manner, Matthew 6, verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And I want to focus in particular, verse 10. Thy will be done. That little phrase, thy will be done. I was reading Charles Finney's autobiography. I certainly don't agree with all of his doctrine and his theology. He was messed up in some areas, but one could not read and know what all happened through his ministry and what all God did without recognizing that he did know the Lord, and he did preach the gospel, and he's preaching in a meeting, and God was at work, and God was moving, and there was a woman, I think she'd already gotten saved in the meeting, and of course she'd gone home, and she'd talked to her husband and begged him to come to the meeting and whatnot. Well, everybody was talking about Charles Finney, the preacher, you know, that had come to town, and everybody was... they always give their 2 cents worth, you know, and about Charles Finney and what they thought. And this businessman, he thought he was just a shyster and a crook and a charlatan and, you know, all the names he could think of to throw at it. And he would not go to the meeting, and no matter how much his wife begged him. And so the wife begged Charles Finney to go to, and I'm not recommending Charles Finney. Some of his doctrine will mess you up. I'll just warn you, okay? But this is what happened, and I believe it. He said that he went out to try to reach that husband for the Lord, and he gave him the gospel and called him to surrender to Christ, and the man was adamant. I don't want anything to do with you or what you're preaching or anything like that, you know. I mean, he had his religion, you know, and he sure didn't need to go and hear him holler for an hour or two every night in a revival meeting. And that rocked on for a couple of days, and he would not come to the services. But he sent word by his wife to ask Brother Finney to come back and to talk to him. He had some questions. And secretly, he was one torn-up man, very well-to-do businessman and everything, but God was just breaking him and drawing him, okay? Well, when Finney began to talk to him, he got right to the point. I'm talking about the man tried to tell him why he called for him. And this is what he said. He said, I pray the Lord's Prayer, okay? But he said, I just can't say those words. I just can't say those words. What words? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Well, that was enough to break him and to make him to see that he was nothing but a dirty, rotten, low-down, no-good sinner, okay, like any other sinner. And he finally got so lost he had to get saved, and God saved him. But that's what God used to reach that man. Thy will be done. And I just couldn't forget about that. And I'm sure that was part of where this message is birthed, but I better move on. What we need to consider, and I say we, comes right back at me while I'm giving it to you. like one preacher said, that preaching is like handling acid without gloves, battery acid, okay? I mean, you get it on you while you're trying to sometimes give it out. But folks, I really believe God just wants me to bring this message tonight. Am I willing, okay, and I mean me too, and I have to think about it even before I could preach it. And I've talked to the Lord about it personally. You know, I want to make sure that I'm not calling you to something that I'm not willing to submit to when I preach, "Thy will be done." Here's the question. Consider this now. Am I willing to make a full, open-ended contract and commitment to my Lord Jesus Christ? That I will yield to His will? That I will change anything, do anything, be anything, give anything, give up anything, sacrifice anything that He wants me to for Him and for His glory? Am I willing to yield to His will? Thy will be done. That's one thing. You know, as a kid, I was taught the Lord's Prayer in the church where I was raised, where they wore robes and lit candles and all of that, and there wasn't anything. And the gospel was not preached except for the bare skeleton of the gospel and no application. But, you know, they did teach me the Lord's Prayer. I'm grateful for that. That's God's word. Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15. And verse 10 is right in the middle of it. And He said that that's what we're to pray. It almost sounds, I mean, that attitude, okay? It almost sounds like if we can't pray that, if we can't say that from our hearts and mean it, then our prayer life is going to go whoop, okay, all the way down. Now we might be able to keep up a form or something, but He knows when we pray and He knows when we play. Okay. Am I willing to yield to His will? Really, am I willing to change anything, do anything, be anything, give anything, give up anything, sacrifice anything? All my dreams and my schemes and my desires and my ambitions to lay right there in Your hands. I mean, really, Thy will be done. And all this, no matter what it costs me in time, in talents, in treasures, or even what it costs me in giving up my preferences. And I don't know about you, but I like my preferences. I like my plans. I like my schemes. I like my dreams. I like my will. But I can't make an idol out of my will and pray, "Thy will be done." That's what you call a hypocrite. Am I willing to say everything's on the table, Lord, no matter what, in order for You to be most pleased, most honored, and most glorified? Understanding that that means all known sin, okay, and disobedience, anything and everything that grieves or displeases Him in our walk or in our talk, in our attitude or in our actions, it has to go. Amen. Thy will be done. It means that we have to deal with this thing of self. It means abandoning self, and pride, and lust, and bitterness, and bitterness, and bitterness. I'm sorry, my needle got stuck on my record. All right. And wrath, and clamor, and evil speaking, and worldliness, and willfulness. And that it must be turned from instantly, totally, immediately, now. Thy will be done. Because he loves me. Wow. He loves me. And because ever since that day that I came to know his love at the foot of the cross, he came to me, brother. Glory to God. I'm talking about ever since that day that I came to know his love, my heart instantly reciprocated. Amen. I love you too, Lord. Because he loves me, and because I love him, and because I know him. And because of that, I trust him. Amen. And because I'm his. A verse you're familiar with, no doubt. 1 Corinthians, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. And look there, if you will, at verses 19 and 20. Last two verses. Paul is addressing their carnality at the church at Corinth. Oh, my. Their worldliness, willfulness. Oh, my. He said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye, wow, ye are not your own. What? Oh, that next, and the next line seals the deal. There's no question about it. Amen. You're not your own, for ye are bought with a price. And you know the price, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Wow. We're talking about in what we do, and we're talking about our attitude and what's really going on the inside. One of my mentors used to talk about the Sermon on the Mount, and he said that of all the sins that the Lord mentioned in the Sermon on the Mount, every one of them could be committed off in a room with all the doors locked and you're by yourself. In our hearts. Whoa, I'll tell you what. Getting to the heart of the matter, I guess you'd say. Well, why shouldn't I say, thy will be done? Whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. Why shouldn't I say that? He loves me. I love him. I know him. I trust him. And I'm his, bought with the highest price possible, the blood of his own son. Amen? Look at Psalm 19, if you will. I want to look at two places in the book of Psalms. Psalm 19 and verse 14, the very last verse. I think it was one of the old Puritans said that when David, I'll give you that in just a minute. It really was another place. But look at this. He said to the Lord, I want this more than anything. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. What do you dwell upon? Okay. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Well, if this is David in the Old Testament, what about us now? Look at Psalm 139. And those last two verses, this is where I meant to say this. It was, I think maybe Spurgeon, but I don't know who said this. Maybe one of the old Puritans. That he said, when David said this to the Lord, now he's praying like this. He really means it. And by the way, he's a man after God's own heart. Amen. And this is what David prayed. He said when he prayed this to the Lord, he took on more when he prayed this to the Lord than when he faced Goliath, or when he killed the bear or the lion, you know. And he did, this is more. Because what he said was, thy will be done. Search me, O God. I want you to search me. I want you, Lord, to search me, O God. And know my heart. I'm wearing one of those little monitor things, you know. And the fella from VA that I'm talking to that was connected with this thing, you know, they got these things you got to do. I said, now, y'all aren't going to know every time I hate somebody, are you? And the fella immediately got what I was saying. He said, as long as you don't hate me, you know. But wouldn't it be terrible to wear a spiritual monitor all the time? Oh, yeah. Well, we just well to, because God knows. Yeah. Amen. And we ought to know, I mean, we ought to want to know what God knows. So when we say, thy will be done, nothing else matters. Amen. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Inside out. The motives, everything. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Amen. Well, all of this, thy will be done, absolutely. All of this to bow willingly to his will and to seek his will and to seek his ways, no matter how my flesh screams in protest. Now, I love my mother, and I'm not talking bad about her, all right? I think, you know, all things considered, she did the right thing. But she was able to get in the kitchen and close off the doors to the kitchen. It was just, and she had the kitchen to herself, okay? And my baby sister, she would cry for nothing and be screaming and hollering. Maybe it was colic, as they say. I don't know, but Mom did everything she could for her and checked her diaper and everything else, and she's back there in the crib screaming, just screaming. My mother's solution was to go in the kitchen, close the doors, turn the vent fan on the stove. Now, I know none of you ladies have ever done that. Maybe you thought about it, but no, that wouldn't be nice. Now, well, Mama did it, and I'm not too sure but what she was right, because my sister's doing fine. Okay, somehow she went through that and unscathed, as you say. But no matter sometimes the old nature, the flesh, Paul talked about the old man. One writer talked about, that's the man I used to be. I love that. My flesh, that old nature, that is such a plague to us, that's the man I used to be. Okay? He still hangs around, all right? I'm not home yet. You aren't either, all right? But I expect you suspected that you weren't home yet, too. Amen. But no matter how my flesh screams, no matter how the world or even my own family or any friends, no matter how they perceive my absolute surrender, if you will, no, a yielding to and a seeking of and a bowing before his will. Thy will be done. No matter how that, you know, how that comes into play and what it looks like in my life, amen. And for everybody here to look a little bit different, amen. Brother Hap just knew that that he was serious, and the Lord just might take his family in a wreck in the car going home. No, the Lord knew exactly what he had planned. Amen. And, well, no matter how the world or my family or my friends perceive it, no matter how they oppose and criticize and object, that I totally want to be yielded, thy will be done, absolutely. No matter who objects or how loud they object or how long they object, thy will be done. Amen? This, you know, Joan and I sang that song in a church where we were visiting, and they wanted us to sing a special, and we sang that song. And and afterwards, a woman came to us and said, I would never sing that song. I would never sing that song. You know what she was saying? She didn't mean to tell me this, but all my praying is playing. All my praying is playing. I'm not going to say, nor can I say, nor will I say, thy will be done. That's the most important thing in my life. I want to tell you now, this thy will be done, like we've been trying to lay it out tonight, it is not unreasonable. It is not radical. Okay? Look at Hebrews, if you will. When Paul was finishing up the book of Hebrews, this what he said right toward the end in chapter 13 in verses 20 and 21. And he's sending salutations to different ones after this, but it's like he's closing the letter, and he said, there's one more thing I got to say. He said, now the God of peace, verse 20 of Hebrews 13, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of his everlasting covenant. Paul just keeps going back to the gospel. Amen. He keeps going back to the blood. He keeps going back to the cross and to Christ, to Christ, to Christ. That great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, he said, I'm praying, and this is what I want for you, that he make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Amen. To do his will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Amen? Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I thought, wow, this is not unreasonable. This is not radical. You know, Vance Havner said that most Christians have lived subnormal for so long that when they see somebody or they hear about somebody living real Christianity, thy will be done, they think that's abnormal, huh? And it's not. That's just, it's not radical, it's just real. I want it. Amen. I want it. You know, it'll come out in your praying. It'll come out in your living. It'll come out, oh boy, will it come out. Amen. We're talking about this is real Christianity. Look at Matthew 12. Y'all listen faster now. I'm taking too long. Okay, Matthew 12. This is real Christianity. Matthew 12, beginning of verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, they desiring to speak with thee. But he answered, it was a teaching moment. Amen? A teaching moment. He answered and said unto him that told him, think about this, brother. Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? All right? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, listening and eagerly drinking in everything he was teaching them and wanting to submit, thy will be done. He said, these disciples, he pointed toward them. He said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Now, he wasn't disrespectful to his mother. You remember what happened at the cross. He made arrangements for John to take care of his mother, Mary. But this is what he said. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. That is not salvation by works. That's setting forth a salvation that works. It's not radical Christianity. It's real Christianity. My. And it's real discipleship, all right? You know, even before I was saved and I was trying to learn as much as I could about the Bible and Christianity, and there was kind of a debate about, okay, can you be a saved person and not be a disciple in one thing or another? And you may think this is radical, but I say it's real, okay? That defines a Christian, and it defines discipleship is part of being a Christian. Amen. And look at Matthew, 16, verse 21. Verse 21, Matthew 16:21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples. He began to get real clear with them about what was going to happen, to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. Remember this now. This is what Peter said. Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Okay? But he turned and said unto Peter, there's somebody else besides Peter involved in what all is going on. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Here's the deal. For thou savorest not the things that be of God and his will, but those that be of man. And then he said it. I mean, it couldn't be any plainer. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do, the songwriter said. And I want to believe I mean it when I say it, when I sing it too. Okay, amen. Somebody said, just putting your lies to music and singing them doesn't make them true. But the Lord said, if any man come after me, if he my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life, okay, you try to hug it to yourself and you keep old self and you're not going to yield to the Lord, he shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life, since it's not about me, Lord, it's all about you. Thy will be done. Amen? And I know I'm speaking to a lot of people that fully understand and faced and are desiring to practice, I'm talking about to put this into shoe leather in their lives. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, okay, it's not about me. Are you listening on the back there, fellas? Are you listening? Okay, that whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What it's really all about. All the sweetness, all the joy, all the blessing. I'll tell you what, I'd rather he drive any day. Amen? I'll have a wreck. I've had a few, all right? For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world? Okay, it's what I want. And, you know, it's like somebody said, a lot of people are, they're climbing the ladder. When they get to the top, they're going to realize it's against the wrong wall. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I realize that seems, we're talking about salvation, not by works, but a salvation that does work. Amen. After all, I know he loves me. I remember when I came to know it at the foot of the cross. And I love him. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. I love him and I know him and I trust him and I'm his. Amen. Why would I try any other thing my way, you know? And when I, you know, sometimes I have to get my wheels realigned. I don't know about you, but I do. Amen. Spiritually. And sometimes I have to deal with things. Oh, my. I don't want to take too long, but I just, you know, this is not unreasonable or radical Christianity. It's just real Christianity. This is choosing his will and loving it that way. Amen. I mean, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. 1 John 2. There in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, that disciple that leaned on Jesus' breast at the supper, that disciple who was the most overwhelmed with the fact that the Lord loved him, that his, and so his love for the Lord was just, but he referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. John couldn't get over that he loves me. Love not the world, he said, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, what's he talking about, the world? He tells you in just a minute. The love of the Father is not in him, if you just love the world. For all that is in the world, you understand what he means by the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. It's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that what? Doeth the will of God abideth forever. Where is your heart leaning? What is it you really, really want in your Christian life? What is it that means everything to you? I see those teenage girls in my own imagination standing there and singing Whatever It Takes with tears, knowing exactly what it meant, and a price they were only too willing to yield up because of they knew him, and he knew them, and he loved them, and so they loved him. And okay, you get the picture. I'm talking about that this is an an integral, this is the word, it's part and parcel with the Lord's Prayer, okay? I mean, you cannot take that out, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You'd be violating the word of God, amen? And we need to be careful that we're not, while we're not doing it physically, that we can do it in our hearts and our attitude. But this is a key part of the Lord's Prayer, all right, the model prayer. And may I say this, you know, there's so many professing Christians in America today, so many professing. I know of different stripes and whatnot, but we'll just say there's so many professing Christians in America today. And you just take the ones that believe like we do, and that's still a vast horde in America, okay? And what about our nation? Yeah, I'm glad for the political change, and I'm glad for the climate now, and I'm glad for several things that you're glad for, most likely. But this is what's missing in our nation. Real Christianity. This is, you know, it's what's missing in our nation. And the reason it's missing in our nation, hold on now, is because by and large it's missing in our churches. And that's because it's missing in our homes. And that's because it's missing in our hearts. Amen. You see, there's no substitute for thy will be done. Not church attendance, faithfulness to church. That's no substitute for not embracing with your heart, thy will be done, and bowing to him because he loves you, because you know him. Amen? Because you love him. Church attendance and faithfulness, no substitute. Neither is tithing, all right? Should you tithe? Yeah, I hope you're not a God robber. My, all right? Neither is separation. You know, some people are, they split the hairs and then resplit the splits, and if you don't, just like them, they're not going to fellowship with you. And, you know, the right kind of separation is wonderful, and it's perfect. I mean, it's great. But that's not a substitute for thy will be done. Many people, you know, they dress a certain way and they do this a certain way, and everybody that's holy has got to do it like they do it, and they think that they've checked off all the boxes and they've got all these standards and whatnot, and you'll see what I'm going to say in just a minute, but that's no substitute for thy will be done, and that attitude of the heart, amen. It's you know, neither is Bible knowledge. You can know the Bible, you can memorize the Bible, all right? But that's no substitute for thy will be done. Good singing. And by the way, several of you were cheating tonight in the song service. Yeah. You were meaning it as you were praising God. Amen. You know, I told you how you can cheat. You can praise God right out loud in church. You just start meaning it while you're singing the hymns of praise to him. Amen. Yeah, several of you were cheating. I don't know who you were, but I tell you, it was clear. It was, and he's here. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody ought to write a song. He's here. Amen. I'm talking about he is here. Well, there's no substitute for thy will be done. Nothing substitutes for it. Each of these things I've mentioned, in their own measure, are excellent, but they are no substitute for the heart and thy will be done. This was illustrated by a brother in Dubuque, Iowa. I preached meetings up there and in a church, and I found out the backstory. This one brother, kind of tall and upright, and we call him raw boned. I don't know what that means, but come to find out, nobody wanted to witness to George. Nobody wanted to, you don't even need to mess with George, okay? I mean, he was a fighter and a scrapper and everything like that. And I don't know if it was the pastor or who got the ball rolling, but they invited George to come to church, and they were kind and probably tried to witness to him some. Didn't push him, all right? And he'd slip in, and pastor said he'd be toward the back, and then he'd come up a little bit toward the middle, and finally it happened. He just broke, amen? God saved him, and the first thing he said to the pastor was this. Said, can I clean the restrooms? Can I clean the toilets? Can I clean the toilets? And that became George's job. You knew that. And anything that he saw that needed to be done, he felt like that the Lord wanted him to do it. Amen? You'd see him out there with a broom sweeping the snow off the sidewalk or with a snow shovel or whatever was needed, you know. And that was George, and he hardly ever said a word. But every week, his responsibility was those bathrooms. And he meant that, and he wanted to do that. He felt like that was God's will for him. That's what he wanted to do. He wasn't trying to pay for his salvation, but he sure wanted to let the Lord know, thy will be done. Amen. You loved me and I love you. Okay, I'm not going to go through it all again. You got it. And I don't know if you've ever heard, but some of you may have, about the early Moravians. Okay, these Moravian brothers in Europe in the 1700s, they were just, you know, learning the word, loving the gospel, loving the Christ of the gospel, and they prayed together, and you know, this was their heartbeat. Thy will be done. Okay, they wanted to see the gospel go forward and people come to Christ. And many of these, the men of the Moravians, this is what they did. They sold out everything to give themselves to passage, to go by ship, to be with the slaves on the sugar plantations in the Caribbean islands. And not just to be with them, but they gave themselves up as slaves to the masters, the same masters that were using the whip on the slaves and trying to get the work done, that kind of thing. Are you listening? You got what I'm saying? And they did that so that they could be shoulder to shoulder with those slaves and as slaves themselves in order to reach the African slaves that were in forced labor there. They wanted to reach them with the gospel of Christ. And how else could they get to them? And it was so on their hearts that thy will be done. I'm saying, whoa. Amen. You remember how Peter said, never, you're not going to do that, Lord. Don't even talk that way. You know, we read that earlier, all right? Well, her name was Debbie. When I was in the army in South Korea, there was a wonderful Christian brother that we became good friends, and he told about what happened at his school in Texas, and her name was Debbie. All right, the teenagers made a pact. Oh my, you talk about taking it serious. You talk about all out for the Lord. They all lived in the same, roughly in the same housing developments in the same area, and they would hook up with one another and walk to school in the mornings. And they said, well, let's meet at different houses. We'll start out 30 minutes early. We'll meet at different houses, and we'll all pray together for the kids in the school because we're going to be around them all the time, okay? And we want to see them come to know Christ like we do. And, oh my, they would pray every day. They were doing that. And one day he said, while they were praying, like I said, her name was Debbie. Debbie was praying, and she just absolutely said, Lord, whatever it takes, if I have to have a disease or something, that these children, that these high school students that we're with, that they could come to know Christ, be saved. And as he's saying that, as she's saying that, there's one of the brothers that said, Debbie, don't pray that way. Don't pray that way. But God had put it in her heart. That was his will. All right? And sure enough, leukemia. All right? And, of course, she lost her hair with all the cancer treatments. But she asked the principal of the high school if she could speak to the assembly of the high school, public school. All right? And, it was hard for the principal to say no, don't even know how much longer she's going to live. And she had a wig and whatnot. And she told them how much the Lord Jesus Christ meant to her. Amen. And she called them to come to Christ. Students weeping, students coming, looking for somebody to counsel with them, and students started getting saved. And it went on until there were a number of high school students that really did come to Christ. And other schools began to ask her, public schools. We've come a long way, baby. That they began to ask her if she could come and she could speak to their assembly of students. And she did, and God broke them, and they came to Christ. They could see how real it was, how real it was, how real it was to her. It wasn't just church. It wasn't just religion. It wasn't just same old, same old. It was real. Amen. The brother who was there in that prayer meeting heard her pray that prayer. And she meant it, and how God used her. I read this. At thy feet I fall. Yield thee up my all. To suffer, live, or die, for my Lord crucified. Can I read it again? It was pretty short. Yeah. At thy feet I fall. Yield thee up my all. To suffer, live, or die, for my Lord crucified. Whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'd be willing to do. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. And I ask yourself as you pray on your own, or tonight in the altar, I don't know what God's doing, but this is what I know. Ask yourself, all right, Lord, is that my attitude? Is that really what I want? And search your heart, or let him search your heart. Amen. And I realize crisis days for Eastern Gate Baptist Church. I realize that. We don't talk about it. We don't know what all's coming, okay? But I know one thing. We better be sold out to the Lord. Amen? And handle it his way. Amen? Thy will be done. And if I was a teenager here tonight, or if I was a young person, it doesn't matter. God's dealing with your heart. Might be time tonight to say, what about me, Lord? Where am I in this? Now, we're not saved by promising God anything. It is, but I tell you what, if you ever come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, he will also be your Lord, your master. Amen. And if you choke on that, thy will be done, because you got plans, or you got things you're going to do, or how you, are you with me? You're going to miss it all. That's what he was talking about. But real Christianity is, thy will be done. Oh, sometimes we need a tune-up. Amen? Sometimes we just need to, preach a friend of mine, he's still alive, Brother Hanley Milby down at Buffalo, Kentucky. One of his messages was, pull her in, fill her up, and check the oil. Sometimes that's what we need to do. Thy will be done. Lord, I pray that you speak to hearts the invitation, that this would be taken so seriously. And Lord, I'm not any better than anybody here tonight. But I just know that this is essential to our Christian walk and our Christian life, and to the power of God in us and on us and through us. And I pray you'll help your church tonight, help each one. And if there's anybody lost here tonight, I pray that they might fall at the foot of the cross and say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy will be done, my Savior, my Lord, and believe on him to save them, repenting of their sin, and you'll save them. And God, I pray that you'll make this so real in hearts tonight. In Christ's name we beg it, just for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Amen. Again.